The mountain traveler was bewildered. He was almost sure he had missed the way. Surely this couldn't be the right road. Finally, he drew up to a typical rustic cabin where a typical mountain air sat in hillbilly comfort on the porch. "Could you tell me," asked the traveler, "is this the right road to such and such a place?" The old man on the porch rearranged himself in his rocker, pondered the matter a moment, then drawled his reply, "Mister, it's too fur to go back. The side road is worse, and this ain't no place to stop. Looks like the only way is on." The only way is on. Tonight, I ask for your attention for the next few minutes. I want to speak on the subject, the only way is on. The only way is on. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this, Matthew chapter 7, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Sometimes we as Christians, we get on the straight and narrow way, and we feel like the traveler that I read about in that little paragraph to start my message tonight. We want to ask the question, did we miss a turn somewhere? Is this the right road? Should we turn back? How about the other road? Isn't there a better way to get where God wants me to be? And there's many in our church family today, right now, that could conceivably ask that question. They go to the doctor and they have tests. And the tests come back and say it's cancer, something else, and there's absolutely nothing that we can do about it. Our body begins to wear out. We get older. And the parts of our body that have served us well for 50 and 60 and 70 and 80 years, they just begin to not serve us as well as they used to. And sometimes it's a struggle just to get out of bed in the morning. Sometimes we get discouraged because of our finances. We get discouraged because the future of our jobs might not look so bright. We get discouraged because our children seemingly have made wrong choices and end up places that we wish they didn't end up at. And sometimes we say, even as Christians, there's got to be an easier way. There's got to be an easier road. Maybe we ought to just stop. Maybe we ought to turn back. And the advice that that old hillbilly gave the traveler is good advice, advice that's biblical advice, advice that I want to use tonight to form the 4 points of my message. Number one, it's too fur to go back. It's too fur to go back. Listen to the examples that God has given us that have gone on before that say the same thing. It's too fur to go back. God called Abraham. He said, "I want you to leave your home. I want you to leave everything you know, everything familiar. I want you to take your family, and I want you to go someplace. When you get there, I'll tell you when you get there." And Abraham took a few detours to get there. He stopped a couple times when he shouldn't have stopped, but he finally got to where God wanted him to be. And it came the time in his family's life where it was time to find a wife for Isaac. And Abraham said, "I want you to go back to my home. I want you to go back to my people, and I want you to find a wife for my son Isaac there." And the servant said, "Well, I'll obey your command, master, and I'll go back. But what if I can't find a woman that's willing to come back with me? Should I take Isaac back there?" And here's what Abraham said: "Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again." What Abraham was saying is, "Oh, no, 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 don't take him back. Abraham knew that when we get to the spot that God wants us to be, that turning back is not an option. He said, I want you to find a wife for my son, but if you can't find a woman that will leave home and come to where he is, don't take him back to where I was. Don't take him back to the place that I was before I got to where God wanted me to get. It's too far to go back. When the children of Israel came to the promised land, and remember the story, they sent 12 spies in. Moses sent 12 spies in, and he said, go search out the land. They went out in and searched the land, and the land was good. They came back with glowing reports about the land. Boy, it's a land that God has blessed. I mean, it's a land that God keeps his eye on. The fruit is wonderful. The vegetables are wonderful. Everything about this land is wonderful, but there's only one problem. And this is what 10 of the 12 said. Said, boy, the people are big. They're giants. We look like grasshoppers in their sights. They got strong cities in there, and they got strong big walls, and they got well-trained armies. And you know, Moses, this army that we got, that Joshua leads at times, we're just a little ragtime band of men. We haven't had that much experience in battle like the soldiers over there in the land of Canaan have had. We have no chance. We have no, there's just no way that we can take the land. And you remember what they wanted to do? They wanted to go back. In Numbers chapter 14, the Bible says, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. They wanted to go back. And a couple chapters later in the book of Numbers, they said this, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic, and said all we have in this place is this manna that comes from heaven and the quail that we get every now and then. Oh, I wish we were back in Egypt. Boy, it was so good in Egypt. We had all these vegetables to eat and we were comfortable, and they remembered the good things of Egypt, but they didn't remember that they were slaves. They didn't remember the hard work that they had to do every day of their life. They didn't remember that they had no home that they owned. They didn't remember that they had no freedom. They didn't remember that they had to do what the taskmasters tasked them to do. And they said, oh, we want to go back. We want to go back to Egypt. We want to go back. And there's Christians today that get discouraged on the straight and narrow way. And they said, boy, I remember the life that I had before I got saved. I didn't have all these rules. I didn't have somebody preaching at me to tell me what to do. I was able to do anything that I wanted. And I remember I had some fun before I got saved. Yeah, you remember all the good stuff before you got saved, but don't you remember, and I want to remind you tonight, before you got saved, you were headed to hell. Before you got saved, your life was empty. Before you got saved, you had no purpose, you had no peace, you had no joy. I mean, and we remember, we look back and say, boy, all the trouble that I'm having in my Christian life, all these trials that God's bringing into my life, I didn't have them before I got saved. Yeah, you had it worse. You were headed for hell. And tonight, I just want to tell you, remind you, if you're having trouble on the straight and narrow way, it's too far to go back. In the book of Hebrews, the Bible says, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had an opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly country. In Luke chapter 9, verse 62, Jesus said this, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And I want to remind you of something tonight. Even if you went back, even if you could go back, you would not enjoy the life that you once knew before you got saved. Because I tell you what, if you're saved and you try to go back to that life, you do not go back alone. You will go back with the Holy Spirit, and every time you step out of the straight and narrow way, there'll be a voice whispering in your ear, hey, this is wrong. You know it's wrong. It's not bringing honor to God. You're not honoring him. You're not being obedient to his word. And you will be miserable trying to live the life that you did before you got saved, because the Holy Spirit will not let you enjoy it for one moment. Praise the Lord. That's why Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. That's why the Bible teaches us that we ought to burn all our bridges. You ought to make it impossible to go back. You ought to just, and don't even look back. You remember what happened to Lot's wife? I mean, the angels pulled her out of Sodom. They were about to destroy the city with fire and brimstone. God was from heaven. And as a favor to Abraham, he pulled Lot out of that city and his two daughters and his wife. And his wife looked back and said, oh, I don't really want to leave this life. I don't really want to leave what I knew in Sodom. And she looked back and she turned into a pillar of salt. And my first point tonight, too far to go back, don't look back. Don't look back. The world has nothing to offer us as Christians. Absolutely nothing. And the things that you thought you enjoyed before you got saved, you can't go back to them because they will not be the same. And so when the straight and narrow way gets a little tight, remember this. Number one, it's too far to go back. Number two, the side road is worse. You ever been on a trip where you had to take a detour? Huh? They were working on the road that you had mapped out, and there was a sign that said, detour ahead. And every time I've taken a detour, I found the detour to have more twists and turns, more potholes. It usually takes you longer to get where you're trying to go, and usually has more wear and tear on your car and the occupants of that car. Huh? Especially if you're a man and you don't like to stop for directions. Sometimes you get off on a detour and you end up taking a big detour because somebody tore down a sign or turned the sign around or you missed it. But the detours are usually rougher than the main road. And the same thing is true when it comes to the Christian life. When things get tight and things get hard on the straight and narrow way, we look to God and we say, isn't there a better way? Couldn't you put me on a different kind of road? And again, I would just point you to the examples that God gave us about taking detours. Abraham, God got him to a particular place, land of Canaan, exactly where God wanted him to be. And it got a little bit tight on the straight and narrow way. The Bible says a famine came into the land. And Abraham said, there's got to be a better way. I'll find a different road to go. So he decided, we'll go down into Egypt. We'll just take a little detour. And by the way, let me remind you, God is able to feed people in times of famine. He is. I mean, if you're worried about what you're going to do tomorrow to eat, I would just remind you, God knows you need to eat, and he'll feed you. Doesn't matter what. It doesn't matter what the economy is doing. I don't care if the stock market crashes. I don't care if every company in America goes bankrupt. There's a God in heaven whose cupboards never run out, who will feed his people. If your retirement check stops, if your paycheck stops, there's still, and by the way, if you're depending on those checks to put food on your table, you're depending on the wrong thing. You need to depend on God. Give us this day. And I tell you what, it wouldn't surprise me if God got us back to the point where we had to pray every day, give us this day our daily bread, so that we would know that it's coming from God and not somebody else. So Abraham, a little famine came. It got a little tight on the straight and narrow way. And Abraham said, I think I got a better idea. I'll go down to Egypt and I'll live in Egypt for a while. So he took a little detour. The side road's got to be better, he said. And you know what happened in Egypt? First of all, Pharaoh almost took his wife. Second of all, he picked up a little Egyptian maid for Sarah, who later on would provide another detour for Abraham. And we need to listen to the advice that comes from the Bible, the advice that comes from this old hillbilly that was sitting in a rocking chair. The side road is worse. You think you got a better idea than God, you'd be better off just to trust God and stay in the straight and narrow way that he's put you. If it gets tough, if it gets hard, if it gets tight, God just wants to show you that he can get you through. And if you say, hey, I've got a better idea than God, I'm going to help God a little bit, and I'm just going to take this side road, I'm going to take this little detour, because this road sure looks a whole lot better to me than the road God's got me on. And I would just say to you tonight, that's dumb, 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 dumb. It's just dumb. I mean, I can't see what's at the end of the detour. I can't see around the next turn. God knows what's there. God knows what's there. And usually you end up in more trouble on the detour. Here's another example. Jonah took a detour. God said, I want you to go preach at Nineveh. And Jonah said, hey, I've heard about Nineveh. They hate you, God. They hate Jews. They're wicked people. I got a better idea. I think I'll go to Tarshish. Tarshish was as far away from where Jonah was as Nineveh was, except it was in the opposite direction. And Jonah said, well, I don't want to go to Nineveh. I'm going to go to Tarshish. So he got on a boat. And you know the story. Storm comes. The sailors say, why is this storm coming? And they drew lots, and the lot came to Jonah. He said, what's your business? He said, I'm a prophet of the Most High God, and I'm running from God. What do we need to do to save our lives? He said, you need to pitch me overboard. They didn't want to. They tried hard to bring the boat to land, it says in the book of Jonah, but they finally threw him overboard. He was swallowed by a whale. For 3 days and three nights. And I'll say it again. I think it was a full 3 days and a full three nights. I don't think it was part of one day and a night and part of another day. I think it was full 3 days and three nights. And you think it was hard on Jonah to have to go to Nineveh to preach to people that he thought hated God and hated his nationality, the Jews? Then you think about spending 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale. It stunk. It was dark. And it was like riding the worst roller coaster at Cedar Point four times over. Oh, that whale would just go like this and like this and like this. Jonah was in the belly of that whale. I don't think he had a chair. I don't think he had a harness or a seatbelt. I think he was flopping around in the belly of that whale, up and down. And you talk about somebody learning how to pray. I mean, I think he started praying after the first couple hours being in the belly of that whale. And you say, Jonah, you think it's hard to go to the city of Nineveh? He said, no. You give me a chance. I'll go now. The detour is always worse than staying on the main road. And Jonah would have been smart to listen to the advice from the Bible and the advice from this old hillbilly when he says, the side road is worse, because it is. And if you think you got a better idea than God, if things are a little tight, if things are a little hard, if you're wondering how you're going to make it, I'd encourage you tonight, don't get a better idea, because you cannot get a better idea than God. God has you exactly where he wants you. And if you get off that main road and say, hey, this road over here looks a lot better, I guarantee you, based on the examples in the Bible, you're going to have it worse than you do now. Just stay right where you are. The side road is worse. Number three, this ain't no place to stop. Don't drive your tent pegs down here. This isn't home. You're just a passing through. Don't try to make this world a permanent place for yourself. You're just a transient in this world. Lot tried to be at home in a place that wasn't home. He moved away from Abraham. He moved into the city of Sodom. First of all, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Then he moved there. Then he was sitting at the gate with the elders. And in 2 Peter, as the Bible talks about it, it says, "For God delivered just Lot, a saved person, just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked." Not only the filthy talk, but the filthy lifestyle of the wicked. "For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." You look up the word vexed in a Greek dictionary, here's what it means. It means to torture. To torture. Lot moved into a place and put his tent stakes down in a place that God never intended to be home. And he vexed his righteous soul from day to day. This world's not our home. It's not. We're just passing through. And if we try to make this world home, we're not only going to vex our soul, but we're going to destroy our testimony to others. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, Paul was writing to Timothy. He says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." Make this world your home, but be careful who's watching you. Adopt this world's values, but be careful who's watching you. Maybe your spouse, will be your children, maybe your brothers, or maybe your sisters. This world's not my home, I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's golden shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. That's the way we ought to be. It's too far to go back. The side road is worse. This ain't no place to stop. Number four, the only way is on. The only way is to keep on going on. We sing about it. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Helen's, one of Helen's favorite songs. "I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground." We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching to Zion. In our text, Paul said, "Brethren, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, verse 19, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." If we follow Jesus, I guarantee you, he won't ask us to turn back. Because he doesn't go that way. He will not turn back. And if we're following Jesus, we'll keep going onward. If we're following Jesus, we won't take detours. He'll keep us on the straight and narrow way, the road that he wants us to travel. If we're following Jesus, we won't stop. He won't. We might, but he won't. And if we're going to follow him, we'll keep going. Because in all honesty, the only way is on. The only way is on. And I know sometimes I've had several people leave me messages this week, and I talked to them last night and today. And all the sentiment is the same. He said, we don't understand, if we're trying to serve God, why all these things are happening in our life. And it's a variety of things. It's sickness. It's discouragement. It's just a lot of different things. And I said in so many words to each of them, do you think that God doesn't know where you are? You think that God's still not in charge? Nothing happens in a Christian life unless he allows it. And I can't, I mean, a couple of them I just wept with because I said, I can't explain it to you. I mean, I can hurt with you, but I can't explain it to you. But I know this, God doesn't make any mistakes. Doesn't make any mistakes. And you're where you're at because that's where he wants you to be. Just keep trusting him. Don't turn back. Don't stop. Just keep trusting him. The only way is on. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the encouragement that comes from this book. Thank you for the examples that you've given us that remind us of what it costs to try to go back and what it costs to take a detour, what it costs to try to live someplace you don't want us to live. And I pray tonight that you would encourage us to just keep going on. Father, I pray if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know Christ, I pray tonight would be the night they make that decision to receive him. If there's Christians here, Holy Spirit, that you've spoken to about something, I pray you'd help us to be obedient and just do what you told us to do. Bless this time of invitation. Use it for your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.